Let us pray. For the gift of this day, dear Lord, today, let us rejoice and be glad in it. We give thanks for all the beauty and love you have wrapped around us, dear Lord, for the sheer privilege of being able to hop in a car and go where we want. Let us never take that for granted, dear Lord. Thank you for the person on our left and the person on our right and the person in front of us and the person behind us. And for those who sit alone this morning, dear Lord, know that you and we are with them as well. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had one of those days? You know the ones. You wake up, you can feel them coming before they even get there. Well, there is one that I will never forget because of the most beautiful way that God reached out to me on that day. I was working full-time, trying to raise three little boys, trying to navigate the minefield of autism, and had had a morning. My alarm went off at the miserably early hour of 5:25 a.m., which in a night owl's book ought to be illegal, to meet my friends for a morning run around the lakes. It was a bitter cold Tuesday in January, and I dragged myself out of my nice cozy bed and headed out the door to the lake, only to wait alone in the cold and the dark and wait and wait and wait. You see, my friends didn't show up because apparently they didn't want to get out of their warm beds either. So I grumbled my way home, barely got my three little guys up and dressed and fed and out the door in time to catch their buses. And then I looked at the calendar and realized that I had forgotten a registration for one, class treats for another, and lunch money for the third, again. I quickly got dressed, threw a load of clothes in the wash, cleaned up the kitchen, grabbed my briefcase, and hustled into my old minivan, slipping on a patch of ice in my high heels, and landed in a pile of snow. I gathered my things from the ground, put them back in my briefcase, tried to put the clothes for Pastor Scott in the back of the van, but of course the back door was frozen. So I went to the driver's side door, which I yanked open, breaking the latch, and had to manually hold the door closed while I was driving my way to church. It was so cold, I actually was scraping ice from the inside of my windshield. You Minnesotans know this. And as the last straw, while backing out of the driveway, I heard the unmistakable sound of glass shattering. So I throw my car into park and I jump out fully expecting to see that the whole back window has shattered, only to find out that no, it was the 12-pack of Diet Coke that I had placed there 2 days earlier, which had now frozen and exploded all over the van and all over the clothes for Pastor Scott. This, and it is now all of 8:05 a.m. I know you can relate. Little annoyances at the time, little annoyances looking back, I should say, but at the time, oh, they were so huge. I was so crabby, I'm flying down the road, plug your ears, youngsters, because I was checking my messages on my BlackBerry, remember those? And at each stop sign, when all of a sudden I look up and I see the tails of a huge, beautiful, bright, vibrant rainbow right over Lake Harriet. Sun dogs glittering red and orange and yellow, reflecting on all the glistening snow that was slowly falling through the air that winter morning. Wow, a stop you in your tracks rainbow. Thank you, God. In the midst of the hubbub and the chaos and the sheer busyness and stress and worry of life, God shows God's face and reminds us not to worry about the little things, which most things are, really, because the big, important things in life are already in place, like life and love and forgiveness and salvation. For the people of Jesus' day, it really wasn't so different than for us today. They had the same pressures as we do of working, providing for our families, caring for loved ones, and trying to live good and decent lives. So in our gospel lesson that Pastor McLean just read this morning, what was it that made Jesus so mad? So mad that he pulled out a whip and started overturning tables and throwing coins on the ground. It's hard to fathom our loving, gentle, feet-washing Jesus smashing tables and kicking vendors out of a temple. It couldn't have been that Jesus was so mad that there was a marketplace in the temple, was it? I mean, there had to be something more to this story. Jesus with a whip? Well, this is what I found. In Jesus' day, celebrating the Passover was huge. It was the greatest of all the Jewish festivals, and every adult male was required by law to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And once they arrived, they were required to do two things. One, to offer burnt sacrifices of cattle and sheep or doves to God, and two, to pay a tax known as the temple tax. And this is why Jesus got so mad. These pilgrims had very little in terms of money, had traveled long distances to get there, and were required to purchase animals from specific vendors who took advantage of them and charged 20 times what they would pay just outside the temple doors. Huge money for a poor people. And it could only be paid in the temple-approved currency, the Galilean shekel. So travelers from Rome and Greece and Palestine and Turkey had to exchange their currency for that of the money changers, which cost them an additional 3 days' wage. What so enraged Jesus was that his own people were being made to believe that their salvation depended upon buying and doing things, and they were ripped off while doing so in the name of religion. Jesus' tirade in the temple was meant to send a clear message to both the people and to their religious leaders that being right with God has nothing to do with animal sacrifices or money or anything else of this world. It has solely and purely to do with God's love for us. With God's love for us. That God loves us simply because we are God's children, not because of any money that we give or work that we do or how we behave, simply because we are God's children. Throughout history, there has always been some sort of vendor trying to get us to believe that we need to do or to be or to buy something to have a secure future and find eternal life. In the temple days, it was sheep and doves and gold coins. In Martin Luther's time, Roman officials had faithful people believing that if they only gave enough money, that their dead loved ones would find their way out of the miseries of purgatory. And today we're told that if we do the right thing or give the right amount of money to the right investor, that our futures will be secure. The problem with this is that by thinking we can somehow buy or stockpile our way into a future that is secure, rather than by simply accepting God's grace, we lose sight of what really matters: family, friends, faith, and service. The reality is that we can waste our whole lives fretting over things that may or may not come to pass. Do you ever find yourself worrying about something for days and weeks and years even, and it never happens? Or if the worst case scenario does happen, we find out that we're okay because God is with us, because God has given us this family to be with us. Real life obviously requires thought and planning, to be sure. But once in a while, we need to stop and see that rainbow, to give ourselves permission to loosen up a bit and stop worrying so much about earthly things and turn our attention to Jesus, who has assured us over and over and over again that we cannot gain one single day by worrying. Not one single day. But we can lose a whole lot of days by worrying. Life can be tough and stressful and worrisome, yes, but it can also be precious and joyous and beautiful. The next time you're feeling overwhelmed by life, when your to-do list seems greater than any one or even 10 human beings can handle, when your loved one is sick and you long for a cure, when your car is frozen shut, and when the world wants more shekels than you will ever have in the bank, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That our future, children of God, is all taken care of. It always has been and always will be, because it has nothing to do with temple taxes or animal sacrifices or bank accounts or jobs or anything, for that matter, that we as human beings can do. Our future, our life, today is purely God's grace, a loving gift from the Father. In the midst of all the doing and planning and sheer busyness of life, find a rainbow moment at the end of your day when you can set aside your worries for a moment and just be still. Enjoy this one life that God has given us. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers can separate us from the love of God. God's got this. God's got us. Amen.